Digital despair, how social media fuels teen anxiety and over-medication. This report is narrated by Nicole McCall and was written by Amy Denny. Sophia never really felt like she fit in as a preteen, and so she turned to a place where she could get lost and go numb. She sat scrolling on her smartphone hour after hour, day after day, searching for her identity. It was an easy distraction from the social isolation of the COVID-19 pandemic quarantine and the pain of her parents' divorce. "I was so enraptured by what was going on in my phone," Sophia, 15, told the Epoch Times. "Caught up in standards she didn't think could really achieve. So she hated herself and was genuinely terrified by the thought of talking to peers. After quarantine, I would go out. I'd be profusely sweating," she said. "I would be nervous. My face would be burning when I was talking to people." Rather than discuss her feelings, she would let them build up inside until she exploded with emotion. Sophia considered her options. She watched peers brag about anxiety medications on social media and saw them isolating further into unchecked phone scrolling. Like Sophia, today's teens are prone to the trap of social media, which encourages anxiety and depression and grooms them to believe that medication is the only way to escape the uncomfortable and sometimes normal feelings that accompany adolescence. Platforms such as TikTok have amplified a broad spectrum of voices around drugs for teen anxiety and depression. Those voices include psychiatrists educating about various medications, influencers creating sponsored content, pharmaceutical companies posting advertisements, and even teens boasting about their own anti-anxiety prescriptions. Teen anxiety, then and now. Today's barrage of medicalized anxiety messaging sharply contrasts with the messaging two generations ago, when selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, were first hitting the market for depression and anxiety. Drugs were then a relatively unfamiliar and often private solution for mental health struggles. But social media has brought more awareness and normalization to teen mental health issues. And experts are concerned that lopsided attention given to the quick fix of medication interferes with efforts to prevent anxiety and depression and using holistic approaches to dealing with mental health. Research shows that risks associated with anti-anxiety and antidepressant medications, such as drug dependence and tolerance, as well as overdosing and suicide, are rising among teens while therapy has become less common. In the United States, there's so much more advertising for drug companies that talk about mental health problems. Dr. Joseph Witt-Doring, a board-certified psychiatrist who specializes in treating adverse effects from psychiatric drugs, told the Epoch Times. "So teens are less likely to see anxiety as the understandable response to stress and more like a physical problem. Because of that, they either get prescribed medications by doctors or they actually go to doctors and say, 'There's something wrong with me. I need medication.' And this is also amplified on social media." Witt-Doring noted that anxiety is especially normal for teens and young adults who are in the midst of life transitions. Yet, he said teens are especially prone to preconceived notions that they have a chemical imbalance in their brains. "There is no test that can accurately assess neurotransmitter levels related to depression and anxiety," he said, "and no evidence that drugs fix imbalances." Algorithm aggravations. A survey by Education Week, a publication for educators, found widespread evidence for teens using social media as a platform to diagnose their own and their peers' mental health conditions, the survey found. 65% of school leaders and teachers reported that students sometimes or frequently use social media to diagnose their own mental health conditions. 55% of high school students admitted to using social media to diagnose their own mental health conditions at least once, 28% sometimes, and 10% all of the time. Nearly half of TikTok's most viewed content revolves around poor mental health and includes mental health hashtags, according to the European Child and Adolescent Psychiatry Systematic Review. It found that trending mental health topics, TICs, dissociative identity disorder, and self-harm in particular, were associated with an uptick in treatment for those conditions. TikTok has made it a badge of honor for teen users to belong to a community of other teens and celebrities who struggle with anxiety and depression, Whit Doering said. There's a lot of content out there with people saying, this is a day in the life of someone with major depressive disorder, and here are all the drugs that I'm taking, he said. And it really normalizes it for people. You see it enough times and you're just like, oh, I guess everyone has these brain diseases and they just need to be on all these drugs. TikTok did not respond to the Epoch Times request for comment. The influence that social media has on a young girl is especially concerning to Aliyah Kissick, a 24-year-old graduate student who has worked as a teen mentor. It's amazing how persuasive these posts can be, she told the Epoch Times. It's even more dangerous for people whose brains are developing because it's targeting them based on commentary. Algorithms reach beyond the content a user is already engaging with, showing teens that kinds of videos their friends are viewing. Teens can be bombarded with content about the antidepressant Zoloft simply because that's what their peers are into, Kissick said. Unfortunately, when you get a bunch of people together talking about mental illness and reiterating on the same symptoms rather than working toward solutions, it can create an echo chamber while you're just all getting sicker, she said. Over-reliance on medication. Many current treatment approaches overlook the complex underlying factors contributing to teen anxiety, such as academic stress, social dynamics, family stability, undiagnosed learning challenges, said Dr. Cammie Benton, family physician and integrated practitioner, told the Epoch Times. These root causes often require a more holistic and developmental approach rather than immediate pharmacological intervention. The increase in tendency to prescribe medication can inadvertently mask fundamental issues, potentially preventing teens from developing critical coping mechanisms and understanding the contextual origins of their mental health challenges. In 2020, nearly 12% of children were told by a healthcare professional that they had depression or anxiety, up from 9.4% 4 years earlier. Youth complaints of anxiety during doctor visits were 3 times higher in 2018 than in 2016, and up 4.2% from 1.4%, according to a study in pediatrics that examined data from the National Ambulatory Medical Care Survey of doctor visits among youth. In that same period, anxiety diagnoses were 3 times as high in teens and nearly 3 times as high in young adults. The rate of those receiving therapy dropped from 49% to 33%. The reduction in therapy during office visits and the greater reliance on medications for anxiety disorders may reflect growing resource constraints in office settings in the context of a child and youth mental health crisis that has been building over time, the authors of the pediatrics study wrote. That could be at least in part because of a geographical shortage of child psychiatrists. A pediatric report noted that while the profession was growing, access was not. In 2006 and 2016, 70% of U.S. counties had no child psychiatrists. Any prescribing doctor can give a teenager SSRIs or other anxiety medications, which are considered safe by the American Psychological Association. Although the Epoch Times reached out to the American Psychological Association for its input, it did not respond. Whit Doering said medication should be the last resort, particularly for teens, and use only for immense suffering. A rush to a fast solution with drugs can turn into a game of Russian roulette, he said. If the system sees people in a very transactional 15-minute visit where they just talk about drugs and don't try to really help the person with the issues that's actually causing the problem, then that's a big problem, he said. The fallout is there's going to be a lot of people on these medications that can't come off. Antidepressant side effects. Most antidepressant drugs work by numbing the brain in much the same way that alcohol and narcotics do. This can be therapeutic in severe cases of anxiety, Whit Doering said. However, relying on drugs also inhibits long-term resilience. The other thing that happens is some people end up feeling really flat on the medications, and so they become kind of somewhat disassociated from life, he said. They have less connection with people around them. Other consequences of taking SSRIs can be life-altering. Among them are suicidal thoughts and behaviors, mania, seizures, sexual dysfunction, and a discontinuation syndrome which causes nausea, sweating, mood, and cognitive issues and insomnia. Some patients can experience these symptoms long after stopping drugs, what Doring said. Most young people put on antidepressants aren't told they can cause permanent sexual dysfunction, he said. Some people, they never recover. That's obviously a nightmare if that happens to you. Many are not warned about how difficult it may be to stop using SSRIs and other drugs. Protracted antidepressant withdrawal can affect 1 in 6 to 7 patients who discontinue their medication. Drug snowball effect. Crystal Welt's long struggle with antidepressants began when she took an SSRI as a teen after a boyfriend breakup left her feeling anxious. She told the Epoch Times that her anxiety increased, so her psychiatrist prescribed her a small dose of Ativan, a benzodiazepine used for anxiety. Benzodiazepines slow down the brain and nervous system and can become habit-forming. Overdose can result in respiratory depression and death. A person with anxiety is very vulnerable to begin with, she said. You will do anything that the doctor says to make these symptoms go away. That pill looks like the perfect fit for your life, and you've got this doctor saying this pill will help you. After 12 years of Ativan, with the dose gradually becoming 10 times stronger, Welch began to question why she continued to struggle with anxiety. A Facebook benzodiazepine support group encouraged Welch to slowly taper off her medication. The process took 3.5 years. She became increasingly sick even after stopped taking them. She ended up being bedbound for 4 years and homebound for 5 years. Her husband had to help her eat, shower. She weighed 100 pounds and was so sick that he had her funeral planned. Still, she did not give up hope. I have a very deep faith in God, and I knew he was going to carry me out of the storm, and he did, Welch said. I told God, if I got through this to the other side, that I would help other people do the same. It has been more than 2 years since she has taken medication, and she has become a certified life coach to support others who are tapering off benzodiazepines. Some of the techniques Welch used to help in recovery are mind and body visualizations, healing scriptures and meditation, exercise, often starting with small movements from bed. Community Zoom meetings so people know that they are not alone. Hope beyond drugs. Besides medication and therapy, other supportive practices can be effective for symptoms of anxiety and depression. Some of the most impressive research, Whit Doring said, is on nutrition. Teen mental health is improved when removing ultra-processed foods and sugar from the diet. Mediterranean and ketogenic diets have also been associated with improved brain function. Many programs that specialize in teen anxiety offer a range of holistic activities and therapies, such as one at Newport Academy that treats teen mental health and substance use disorders. These programs emphasize many types of treatments, including physical activity, art, music therapy, community service, yoga, meditation, adequate sleep, and breaks from technology. Research has shown that 4 months of exercise, such as brisk cardio for 30 minutes 3 times per week, is as effective as SSRI treatment with Zoloft. Establishing healthy prone habits helped Kissick. She said she takes breaks from social media frequently. Her Christian faith and friendships also help alleviate anxiety by reinforcing her identity and purpose. A big part of psychological safety is having friends, having a community, and having something bigger than yourself to believe in. She said, I think forming in-person communities is going to be the antidote to this. Courageous metamorphosis. The transition from teen to adult also requires a bit of patience. As Sophia noted, just as her appearance is rapidly changing, her inner character is being molded. A process that Sophia described as influenced by hard choices. Sophia said that while she values eating healthy and exercising, there are times she hates doing both. Growth has meant pushing through a lack of desire. Nothing changes unless you change it. And some people either crash or fly with that mentality, she said. She rejected medicine and decided to boost her self-confidence with the discipline of meditation, positive affirmations, and facing her fears, even if that meant being red-faced and sweaty in social situations. A big part of Sophia's journey is her inner narrative, telling herself she wants to wake up early, that she does not want to use her phone before bed, and that she will be courageous and talk to people. She found that shifting her perspective and perceiving herself as someone who is confident and sociable revealed to her that she actually enjoys being around a variety of people, even though they differ from her. "I don't think the answer to it all is pills and seclusion," Sophia said. "I think doing stuff that's good for your soul, like going on hikes, getting 9 hours of sleep, eating things that are good for you, treating your mind and body as a temple. All of those things grew into who I am now." If you or a loved one is struggling with thoughts of suicide or self-harm, it is important to reach out for support. Please remember, you are not alone. National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Call or text 988 or text HELLO to 741-741. Thank you for listening to this report by the Epoch Times. If you enjoyed the content, don't forget to give this podcast a 5-star rating. We'll see you with another in-depth story tomorrow.